On the eve of the start of the Battle of Gallipoli, which lasted almost an entire year, General Mustafa Kemal Atatürk chose these words to inspire courage in his young men. "I'm not asking you to fight for your country," he said. "I'm asking you to die for your country." In his day, Atatürk was the rare commander who led from the front lines rather than from the rear, and he recognized what would be required of him and his troops. German author Erich Maria Remarque offers the alternate reality from the soldier's perspective in his novel All Quiet on the Western Front. In this fictional world of war, the story follows a young soldier, Paul Baumer. Baumer returns home on leave and visits the classroom of his former professor, Kantorek, where they have this exchange. Kantorek asks Baumer to inspire his young students to serve their country. He introduces Baumer as the kind of soldier every one of you should envy. Professor Kantorek encourages Baumer, "Remember some deed of heroism, some touch of nobility. Tell them about it." Instead, Baumer shares the harsh realities of war, saying, "We live in the trenches out there. We fight. We try not to be killed. Sometimes we are. That's all. You think it's beautiful to die for your country, don't you? It's dirty and it's painful. When it comes to dying for your country, it's better not to die at all. There are millions out there dying for their country, and what good is it?" Tomorrow, bands will play, parades will process to cemeteries, members of the armed services will march. There will be speeches. There will be acknowledgement of the formal declared wars and the men and women who gave their lives for this country for just causes, and in many cases, unjust causes. Some causes were brought before Congress to officially declare our country at war. Other causes have been directed as military actions from behind a desk in the Oval Office by U.S. presidents. Excuse me. More than once, by more than one man who held that office, and sometimes more than once by the same president. Violence begets violence is a concept as ancient as scripture and is found in the Gospel of Matthew. He tells of that moment when a soldier arrives to arrest Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take up the sword will perish by the sword." This year, listening to this seasonal liturgy at Palm Sunday service, a liturgy that I have heard almost as many years as I've been alive, it struck me for the first time as a story about an act of courage. This is not a supernatural individual, but rather an ordinary human being. From the Gospel of John, Jesus knows why the soldiers have come. He does not run. He does not hide. He simply asks, "Who are you looking for?" They answer that they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus replies, "I am Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus then submits to arrest. "I am the one you are looking for." Perhaps it was these words and stories that inspired the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and ignited his courageous, nonviolent protest that transformed this country in the 1960s. Dr. King stood up and led a movement by courageously declaring his commitment to the ideal that all of us are created equal. His assassination adds fuel to the nature of his courage. He knew, most assuredly, as the dirge of the liturgy of Holy Week, that he was putting his life on the line, and there was no turning back. King would take the bullet that saved the lives of others, as also did Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. I am the one you are looking for. To quote biochemist and science fiction writer Isaac Asimov, violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. He also said, people who think they know everything are a great annoyance to those of us who do know everything. But I digress. I think we needed a little laugh. Heavy stuff. It is important that to honor those who, the individuals who inspire greatness in others do not seek that last refuge. They don't resort to violence. They know, they believe that peace can only be achieved by reaching hearts and minds. They also know that many will perish in the cause of peace. It is important to honor those who have had to make the ultimate sacrifice. It is also important to recognize the consequences, whether these be of the obvious retaliatory kind or the karmic variety. Violence begets violence. In the harsh realities of the earliest days of the 21st century, we are experiencing traumas of decades of undeclared United States wars in remote and distant lands. Yet the pain and suffering is brought home daily to the wounded who have given up limbs and physical capacity or live with post-traumatic stress disorder, while at the same time, families grieve the loss of a son or a daughter. Violence begets pain and suffering, too. Here at home, violence visits us, American against American, in the form of domestic terrorism, of mass shootings, of vehicular homicides, of bombings concocted at kitchen tables from readily available online instructions. Perhaps at one time we might have naively imagined an end to this chapter of our country's story. I know I did. On August 1st, in 1966, a mass shooting that I recall to be the first took place on the campus of the University of Texas in Austin. It would be 7 years before the next such incident occurred again, and this time at Howard Johnson's in New Orleans, Louisiana. And then the mass shootings came cascading, separated at first by a year or two, and then only a few months, and then 1 month upon another, in an unrelenting tide of horror, until we stand today, where within a 10-day period, a total of 4 lives were lost and 15 were injured on 3 separate days, in 3 different states, in 3 different settings. The first, on April 27th, just before Shabbat services at her synagogue in Poway, California, 60-year-old Lori Gilbert Kay lost her life attempting to shield her rabbi. I am the one you are looking for. Synagogue member Ronit Lev said, the rabbi told me as he was being wheeled to surgery, let everyone know that Lori stepped in and saved my life. Later, in a speech at a prayer vigil, Rabbi Goldstein said, never, ever, not ever, be afraid to be Jewish. The second, 3 days later, on April 30th, during classes at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, an alert flashed across computers and phone screens all over the campus. Run, hide, fight, secure yourself. Immediately. But Riley Howell, just days away from his college graduation, could neither run nor hide. The gunman was in his classroom. So he fought. The authorities said he charged at the gunman, who had already fired several rounds. Riley pinned him down until the police officers arrived. I am the one you are looking for. Unfortunately, said a police officer, Riley gave his life in the process, but his sacrifice saved other lives. The third, and then that same week, chaos erupted to the sound of gunshots at STEM school, Highlands Ranch in Columbine, Colorado. Kendrick Castillo was days away from his high school graduation when he died lunging at one of the shooters. "I am the one you are looking for." In that same building in another classroom, 12-year-old Nate Holly clutched a metal baseball bat as he moved with classmates to hide in a closet. "I was going to go down fighting," said Nate, with a kind of innocent courage only accessible to a 12-year-old. And just as an aside, hasn't Columbine had enough? Wasn't April 20th, 1999 enough? Who have we become that 12-year-olds grab bats to defend classmates against guns, and parents consider bulletproof backpacks on their list of back-to-school supplies? Who have we become? Yet it would appear the tide has shifted since 1999. Instead of individuals running out of buildings with hands raised above their heads, today's gunshots are propelling victims toward the perpetrators in acts of courage that stagger the imagination. Lori Kilbert Kay, Riley Howard Howell, and Kendrick Castillo each turned toward the shooter and responded to the aggression, it would seem, by saying to themselves, "I am the one you're looking for." If I were to face such a moment, and sometimes it seems more likely than not that this is just a matter of when, not if, would I think to myself, "I'm the one you've been looking for"? I want to live in that world of Rabbi Goldstein and believe. I am not afraid to be Jewish. I am not afraid to be Muslim. I am not afraid to be Christian. I am not afraid to be Black. I am not afraid to be Matthew Shepard. I am not afraid to be transgender or queer or gay or lesbian or fluid. I am not afraid to be Lori Kilbert Kay or Riley Howard Howell or Kendra Castillo. I am not afraid. I am brave. I am courageous. Odds are fairly low that any of us will be called upon to sacrifice our lives by taking a bullet to protect another life. It is far more likely that every one of us will be called upon to shield another from other kinds of aggression: name-calling, derision, abuse, deportation, bullying, and persecution of every sort. In that moment, each one of us has the opportunity to stand up and say, "I am the one you are looking for." May it be so.